Well, I like this. I think this was a little more, had some elements that were a little more like what we believe communion was probably like in the early church, because they probably did it with a meal. So, I mean, I kind of left a mess there. But, you know, when we have a big family meal, that's what it kind of looks like at the end, is a little bit of a mess. One other family note that I forgot to announce earlier is that because we're having family festival in here, we need to get all the chairs cleared out after service. So if you're able to stay, don't just start moving chairs around. There's a system to the madness. And so Judd will be up front, and if you're willing to help with that, that would be great if you came up. I mentioned at the beginning that we are in the series Word of the Lord, and I'm just going to review what we've done the last 7 weeks as we set up this final message. So we started with the Law of the Lord, which talks about how we're to memorize and meditate on God's teaching. Law, often it was said as Torah. The first five books of the Bible or the Law was the Torah, and Torah means teaching or instruction. So we have written words, teaching, instruction, and we're supposed to meditate on those, and there's lots in the Bible that reinforces we're supposed to do that, and that actually was what kind of set us in motion for the whole series, is to carry something with us, carry a passage with us each day that we could be thinking about. Then we went to the gospel of the Lord. We are to embrace and proclaim the good news of salvation from God. There is so much good from God towards us, that we're forgiven, that we can be reconnected with Him, that His presence go with us, that there's life after death, that there's healing available, that there's power available. Just we went on and on and on, all the things that it means for Him coming towards us, being with us, dying for us, rising again, all of that. Then we went to the commands of the Lord. We're to know and obey God's commands because they are for our good. So it would be good to obey God just because He's God. And that you didn't really need to say anything else about that. But then we discover that the commands themselves are good for us, that He gives them to us for our good, and that what they are is good. Then we went to the scripture of the Lord. We are to give the Bible authority in our lives so that we can know Jesus and the life He offers to us. The scriptures, even in the Old Testament, even the things written before Jesus came, are all pointing to who He is and what He's done for us. And He is the Word of life. He Himself is the living Word, and He wants to give us life. And the scriptures are life-giving when we come to them looking for Jesus and the Spirit moves through them. Then the next week we talked about the revelation of the Lord. We are to eagerly desire gifts of the Holy Spirit through which God communicates to us according to the scriptures. So according to the scriptures, God communicates to His people in all sorts of ways, which could include dreams and visions and angelic visitations and audible voice and maybe more commonly, you know, words of knowledge or thoughts or just the ways that He guides us. So that's what the scriptures say, and then when we are trying to listen to God to understand His communication, we see if it's really from Him. We look and see, does it line up with what the scriptures say? And we're especially to focus on to desire the gift of prophecy, which can sound like a big kind of scary word, but it's really just God giving us things to communicate that are from Him and to strengthen and encourage people. And comfort people. That's what that is. So anyway, that was that. And then the next week was the voice of the Lord. This is just this last week. And how I looked at that heading into the series is we're to seek God's love and leading in our lives through God's Word and Spirit. And last week, Camille talked about the still small voice of God, the whisper. She talked about how to hear a whisper, you have to come close to a person. God comes close to us. We come close to God, and God can interrupt our way of thinking with his word for us. And then finally, this week, songs of the Lord. We are to sing the word of God with songs from Scripture and the Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about this week. And I'll be honest, this was the last one to make the cut. There was, how does songs of the Lord, how is that the word of the Lord to us? But let's look, we used part of the life in the Spirit passage for this week for confession, but I want to look at another part of that Colossians 3 passage for getting to the songs of the Lord. So let me read Colossians 3:15-17, which says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I want to make one point before I get into more specifically the songs of the Lord, and that is how the theme of thankfulness runs through what I just read. You know, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, and be thankful. And then gets to the next part about songs, with gratitude in your hearts. And then doing everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. There's this thanks. And that is going to be connected to the songs of the Lord. We'll see that theme through all the passages we look at today. There's just going to be giving thanks, being thankful, having gratitude in our hearts is woven into this idea that we're talking about today. It's also woven in throughout this service. Some of you may know that the Lord's Supper is also sometimes called the Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. And so we started right from the beginning, centering around an act that is meant to have us give thanks to God. And we're going to continue with that theme through the end. But I want to look at verse 16, where it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. The original NIV, so NIV, this translation came out in 1984, and then in 2010 they did another translation, updating mainly that when it's talking about in general terms that would use gender-neutral language when that's what it's talking about. Anyway, but there were a few verses that are a little different. This is one of them. I remember it saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." I love that passage, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And I always took that phrase and thought it would mean like, let the Bible dwell in you richly, like memorize it, meditate in it. And of course, that is true. That's one of the main points we talked about in the first week of the series, is that we're supposed to meditate and memorize God's word. We're supposed to have it dwell in our hearts. So that is true, to let the Bible, the scriptures, dwell in you richly. But this actually gets at a different way we can let the message or the word of Christ dwell in us richly. It doesn't say, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with sermons, or with reading the Bible, or with your devotions, or with theological explanations. It says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So we can actually let the message of Christ dwell in us richly through music and songs that have the words of God, the message of God coming through them. And there is a way in which St. Augustine says that some version of this phrase, he spoke a different language, so I'm not exactly sure what he said, but that when we sing, we pray twice. Like when we sing songs of the Spirit or sing songs based on Scripture, we pray twice. It's like got more of an impact on us, on what we're asking for, than if we just did it. So if I think a thought, think of Scripture, think of something, if I think that, it's going to have an impact on me. If I say it out loud, there's something different that happens. Sometimes that can have more of an impact. It's inviting more of the senses. I'm hearing it. But if we sing it, it's like a whole other level. And then if we sing it, it says, among one another. If we do it here, now something even more is happening in the ability to be filled with the word of Christ, to let God's word dwell in us richly, his Spirit, his presence to come. Another passage that could have easily been a life in the Spirit passage, it's just a lot longer, is from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. In Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, it gets all sorts of ways that we live. It gets into our anger, our relationships, our lying, our truth-telling, our forgiving, our sexuality, our stealing, our working, all these things about live this way, don't live this. This is the best way to live. And at the end, when it's getting to the summary of this section on how we are to live, Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." How? How are we filled with the Spirit? Well, one of the ways is speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's that giving thanks again. But to be filled with the Spirit, we sing, we make music, we're taking words of Scripture, songs about God, new songs, and we're sharing them with one another. We do that on our own. We can do that on our own, but we also can share together with each other. And it says, don't be drunk on wine. In our emptiness, we are trying to fill our emptiness with so many things. Could be drinking alcohol, could be drugs, could be eating too much food, it could be gambling, it could be sports, it could be shopping, social media. And not all those things rightly done are bad. It's just when we try to fill those in a way, when what our deep emptiness is longing for is to be filled with God's Spirit. And if we just fill ourselves so much that we can't be filled with God's Spirit, then those things that could be gifts to us don't become gifts. But singing, making music to the Lord is a way that we can be filled up the way we're supposed to be filled up. So in both those passages, it encourages us to look at Psalms. So we're going to look at Psalms now. Let's look at Psalm 33, verses 1 through 3. And we could look at a whole bunch of Psalms. I'm going to look at a few and give you some of the themes that are in some of the Psalms. So sing joyfully to the Lord. One of the themes that's in many of the Psalms is to make music, and specifically that we should sing. Sing joyfully to the Lord. Now, another theme that is in many of the Psalms is joyfulness, rejoicing, you know, positivity. It's good things. Now, it could seem that this becomes inauthentic. If we just come to church, and every week we come to church, and we sing happy, clappy songs, and we put on our smiley face, and we act like we're all good, and then we go out there, and we got to go somewhere else to deal with what's really going on in our heart, with the heartaches we really have, with the hard things we really have, well, then that's not very helpful. And so the Psalms also have psalms of lament that are sad or that are angry. To be emotionally honest of where we're at with God, with the community of faith, is a good thing. But we hold these two things together in that we need that, and we need places for that. But we also, I think, a bigger theme of the Psalms is this: do it joyfully. We have to step into joyfulness. The world is so hurting and broken that we can feel like we are in a tragedy, that our life is a tragedy, that our destiny is a tragedy, and then that we just are beat down. And we need to be together and remind ourselves on a regular basis that the end is not a tragedy. The end is an incredible victory for all of us. Death, the end, is actually a beginning of what's really great. The story is unbelievable. We get an unbelievable story, and there are moments of meaning and purpose and goodness and joy through all kinds of hurting and broken situations right now in life, but pointing towards a time when we realize, like, we aren't getting what we deserve. We're getting way better. And so our bodies are not meant, our beings are not meant to have to take in the sickness we have, the death we have, all these things around us. And it will shrink our souls. But if we remember true reality from an eternal perspective, our God reigns. And that is where it's headed. And so we need to celebrate that and get it into our souls. And then we can live differently based on that. And so that's why joyfully, singing joyfully, worshiping beyond just singing, different ways to do it joyfully is such a theme, I think, in the Psalms. So sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. So many different aspects of music. Incorporate music into your gathering for God. Do it joyfully. Do it skillfully. Do it in all sorts of variety. Do things that, the psalms, the hymns, we know those. Do new things. We bring a new song to God, all of that. And then lastly, shout for joy. Shout. There is something in many of the psalms that is about volume. So there's a place to be still and know that he is God. To let all the earth be silent before him. There is a place for that. There's a place for quiet in worship even. But there is also a place in the Psalms that says just bring the volume. Let me read three more Psalms just to keep reinforcing this point. One is our Psalm for the week this week. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord. There it is again, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name forever, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Much of those themes are in there. How about Psalm 98? Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. All the ends of the earth have seen his salvation. God. Oh, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with harp, with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. I didn't realize how much shouting we're encouraged to do. It's a lot of shouting. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity. Now, it's all this shouting, and then it's, because he's coming to judge. Well, that's not very exciting, except that we want someone to come and make the world right again. That's what it means that he's coming to judge. He's going to put everything right. And he's on our side if we ask him to be on our side. If we say, yes, you are our king, you are our Lord, you are in charge, we need your forgiveness, we're on his side, so when he comes to put things right, he is making us right, we will be okay because of Jesus, and also all these things that drive us crazy or break our hearts, they get put to right. And so the whole creation is doing it. The seas are resounding, they're bringing volume. The rivers are clapping their hands. The forests in another song are clapping their hands. I mean, the mountains want to sing. It's like creation is worshiping God, but it's also kind of this pent-up energy because when the sons of God are revealed and everything's put to right, it's just going to be released into freedom and no longer under a curse and bondage. And so there is this way in which now will we join that. Because creation almost can't help itself. There are so many ways that we are encouraged in the Psalms to do it in the assembly, do it with the people, proclaim it before people. There's this worshiping with people, singing with people as a theme. And then there's the volume. There's the, you know, do it with cymbals, do it with dancing, do it in all sorts of ways. Sing, sing, sing. Shout, raise your hands, bow down, all of this. Why? Because he is so worth it. And when we get ourselves aligned with what the king is worthy of, it does something in our souls, and the message of Christ dwells in us richly. Like, we're doing this for him because he's worthy, But he does something in us. We have something dwell in us and among us when we do it. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Psalm 146, verse 2. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. So I hope that you will worship today and sing today. I hope that many of you will make space to come next Sunday night to our Unto the Lord worship night. Because God's Spirit, we get filled with His Spirit. His Word dwells among us richly. It is good for our souls, and even if it wasn't, He's so worth it. Now, in this series, we've had like a pastoral person usually lead the confession and assurance. We've had different people read scriptures, whether it's the psalm or gospel. And Matt has picked a different person of the worship team or the worship tech team to lead us into the call to worship using the call to worship passage at the beginning of each service usually. He picked Ezra, who does lights and projection for us, to do this Sunday's. And Ezra kind of realized yesterday, oh, it's not at the beginning of the service. So he found that out last night, I think. So I'll have Ezra come up. I'll have the team come up. And we're just going to close this service by doing what the Word of the Lord encourages us to do today.
The call to worship passage comes from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 4. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. So, Father, we come before you today to worship you, to sing to you, to give you praise. Regardless of how we came in feeling, regardless of circumstances, the character of who you are is more real than our emotions. The strength of our God is greater than our circumstances. You are worthy to be praised today. You are worthy of us to lift our voice and to shout, to sing and to dance. You are worthy. So would you be enthroned upon our praises today? Would you make this your dwelling place as we give you the praise you are worthy of? It's in your name we pray. Amen.